News, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Just revealed in New York is the arrest of a Manhattan resident early last month who is now charged with making at least seven improvised explosive devices. The U.S. Attorney's Office says he apparently planned to use those devices in the city and threw at least one onto the subway tracks of a bridge. CBS's Anna Schechter.
He's charged with one count of attempted destruction of property by means of explosives, which carries a mandatory minimum of 5 years in prison and a maximum sentence of 20 years in prison. One count of transportation of explosive materials, which carries a maximum sentence of 10 years in prison, and one count of unlawful possession of destructive devices, which also carries a maximum sentence of 10 years in prison.
A senior law enforcement source tells CBS News the suspect was likely motivated, at least in part, by anti-Semitism. A large swath of the country is facing extremely high temperatures this week. The feels-like temperature could reach over 100 degrees. Meteorologist Craig Allen also points out
car interiors will reach lethal temperatures over 140 degrees in just a matter of minutes. So never, ever leave young children or pets unattended in vehicles in this type of heat.
Amid the Trump administration's immigration raids, the number of people in the detention centers hit a record high of 59,000 at the end of last month. CBS's Lilia Luciano says of a facility in New York,
men seen sleeping on the floor on thin thermal blankets with reports the lights are kept on around the clock and nearly 30 people sharing a single toilet. Video released by the New York Immigration Coalition gives a first look inside some of the holding cells of the city's federal immigration offices. A man is heard saying, "Look how they have us, like dogs in here."
President Trump announces a joint venture between his administration and Japan, shipping liquefied natural gas from Alaska to be sold in Japanese markets.
They're all set to make that deal now, so I think it's good. This was really the one they had to make, and we're going to make a deal with Japan on the LNG in Alaska.
Japan's prime minister says the U.S. auto tariffs would be cut to 15% from 25% after the two countries reach a trade deal. Tokyo stocks jumped more than 3%. The Trump administration again will withdraw from the U.N. cultural agency, UNESCO. State Department spokesperson Tammy Bruce.
Continued U.S. participation in international organizations will focus on advancing American interests with clarity and conviction.
At 45 years old, Venus Williams is the oldest woman to win a tour-level match since Martina Navratilova in 2004. At the D.C. Open, Williams beat Peyton Stearns. This is CBS News.
Sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Get renter's insurance to protect the things that make your place a home, including coverage for theft or damage. Visit Progressive.com.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Football starts tomorrow. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, Packers training camp beginning tomorrow morning at 10:30 with the first of 11 practices open to the public. Three preseason games, followed by the 17-game regular season schedule. The Packers signing right tackle Zach Tom to a four-year deal, including a signing bonus of over $30 million, the most ever for an offensive lineman. NBA, Chris Paul will join the LA Clippers and Brooke Lopez. The Bucks had shown interest in Paul earlier this summer. Baseball, the Brewers and Mariners again tonight in Seattle. The Brewers with a 6-0 win over the Mariners last night, their 11th win in a row. How did they go from fourth place to right now the best record in baseball?
I think you got to understand that this is a bunch of people that, you know, have gotten to this point and just kept clawing away. You know, they're hungry. I'm really, really proud of them, but we got work to do to improve in every area we can. But we can at least feel like we're capable.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy with some late night showers and storms. Lows in the lower 70s, a breezy south wind. Wednesday heat advisory in effect. Showers and storms then turning mostly sunny with highs in the lower 90s. Heat index will easily exceed 100. Right now, it's 73.
Maggie Dawn.
I got two special guest hosts tomorrow, and they'll be talking with Pete Schwabo of Nightlight and Jim Santel of Amicus, a law review. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Smoke. Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our home here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up at the very end of the show, around 10:51-ish, we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Here Kitty Kitty edition. I would encourage you to stick around for that for a few laughs. Tisbet, as we call it. Yes, wrapping indeed. Up the show. This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Coming up around 10:51. Happy to be joined by our friend Corrine Hendrickson, has been our guest many, many times over the past few months, particularly as we talk about childcare issues in Wisconsin. You were a child care provider for a long time, Corrine, and good morning, first of all, and now you have to make a change.
Yeah, good morning. Are you able to hear me, or did I just get weird?
No, well, you're good. You're good.
We're good? Okay. So, all right. So, yeah, my oldest son is actually going to college, so I'm on the Memorial Union Terrace while he signs up for his classes. And, yeah, I will be closing my business August 29th because there just wasn't enough funding in the state budget for me to continue staying open without outpricing my parents. And at the end of the day, after 18 years, I finally am realizing I need to put my family and myself first too. And I have to be able to, you know that I will be okay. And if I would have tried to struggle like I did last year, the open spots right now was not getting them filled. And it was end of September before they were filled. And I struggled with like wondering, what do I do? How do I stay open? And where do these kids go? So this summer, as I was watching the budget proceed and realized we're probably not going to get what I need in order to stay open and affordable, I started talking with my colleague, Brooke Legler, who has a group center, to see if she would have a couple spots for the children I have left to take in September, because that's how childcare works.
Right.
We rotate our kids in September because that's when they go to school. And so, yes, she was that she would be able to get them in. So I'm at peace with how I'm closing, but I'm very upset and, you know, angry. I mean, to be honest, I'm angry that I'm closing in this way because I was not ready to close my business.
Well, and you've been doing this for 18 years, and we've talked about this many times before, Corrine. You weren't doing this because you were making just scads and scads of money, and you have a second home in Vienna or wherever. No. You were doing this because you like children, and and you believe in preparing kids to go to school, and that is not just babysitting. What you do and what so many of our childcare providers do is really set them up to learn and teach them how to learn. So yeah. I think still,
yes, and
I think there's a lot of misconceptions about what our child care providers do.
Oh, yes, absolutely. All the hours and all the trainings, all the courses, all of, you know, I am passionate about inclusion of children with disabilities and making sure that they have places to go. I've had over 15 children who have had special needs, as small as speech and as large as autism. And, you know, really taking the time to learn about those kids and how to meet their needs, and also really work with their parents to first take away the stigma that it's not anything they did wrong as a parent, that their child needs extra support,
right,
but then give them help and support and how to access that. And you know, that's a lot of what I do too, is teach parents how to be better parents and how to navigate parenthood and just, you know, prepare these kids to be good humans. And not only do I have kids up to the age of five, but in the summertime and after school, I get my alumni, I call them, they come back. And so, you know, I have had kids now this summer, an 11-year-old, she's been with me since she was born. And, you know, it's wonderful that I get to get her back in the summertime and, you know, continue that care and education that they need when there's no school available.
Right.
And I think that's the biggest piece we're missing, is school is one thing, preschool, keep pushing down, what, fine, whatever. But what do those parents do outside of those hours? They rely on childcare and high quality environments for their kids to learn. And schools rely on us to exist so that those kids are in good places,
yep,
during the summer and before and after school. And, you know, it's just, it's a vicious cycle that we are perpetuating for absolutely no reason.
Kareen, for people who don't know, and we're watching the budget talks and the signings that happen, some of them might be saying, well, there was money put into the child care funding and you guys got money. Why are you closing? What's the problem? Can you explain to them the truth behind the funding that you were going to be getting through the budget that was signed a couple weeks ago by Governor Evers?
Yep, absolutely. So, yes, $360 million was allocated to child care. $1 billion was closer to the number that we were asking for total. And so we got about a third. $480 million separately was for direct state investment to get us back to the monthly payments we were receiving in 2021 and 2022. And how much has inflation gone up since then? Let's be honest. Like, that's not even what we needed. And so of the $480 million direct that goes to 4,700 regulated programs, about 200,000 children and 30,000 teachers and employees, we got $110 million for 11 months. When you break that down with those massive numbers, you understand it's tiny and it's not, you know, nearly what we need in order to keep teachers in place. And one of the things that I did notice that was in the budget was Senator Markline earmarked, $2 million was earmarked for Senator Markline's district. I don't know if he did it, for Southwest Hospital, for a grant, which they already had matching funds, in order to build a childcare center at the new hospital. Well, I've talked to some of the providers in that area. They have empty classrooms and they're terrified their teachers are going to go now work at this hospital because the company that is going to run it is out of Minnesota, has over 100 programs. They can offer a little bit more money. So they're going to take those teachers from those small locally owned businesses and they're going to hire them because they're qualified and can pay more. And then those programs are probably going to close, because they can't then hire new teachers. And so, yes, the idea is to open new programs because ideally you'll get more spots. But if you don't have teachers, it doesn't matter. We have 33,000 empty seats sitting right now in programs. I don't know of a single group center that does not have empty spots because they don't have enough teachers.
And so
by adding to the, it adds to the problem, it doesn't take away, and you end up actually making fewer slots overall because of the closures.
Yep. Just for to clarify for folks who are listening, you're not talking about open spots for kids. We're talking about needed childcare teachers.
No,
we need.
Open spots for children because there's no teachers to be there for the kids. So these programs have, like Brooke in my community she could have 60 more children in her program, but she doesn't have the teachers for those kids. And there's kids on that wait list. And so the problem is the teachers and being able to afford to pay the teachers, but parents can't pay enough for us to pay ourselves or teachers.
Well, and it goes back to, another Republican fix for this was, well, let's just lower the age of teachers and let's lower the qualifications for teachers. Let's just bring in some 15-year-olds and that's going to replace someone who has been educated in child development and all of those things. There's the fix. That's not a fix.
No, not at all. And especially when I have kids in my program that are exhibiting some behaviors like biting, I have a hard time talking to those parents about why the child is getting bit and why the child is biting and how to support that and how to move through it, because it's a developmental stage. I don't know how a 16-year-old is going to have that conversation with a parent. I have going to happen. No. That 16-year-old is going to be blamed. Those parents are going to be mad. And I really would want to make sure that there's a requirement if we have people under, if we have children watching children in our programs, that there needs to be parents signing off, understanding that that's who is in that classroom at that time. And another thing is a lot of insurance companies aren't going to allow it. So these solutions are things that we're not even going to be able to access, or they tell us it's a choice. Well, I'm sorry, it might be a choice, but it, you know, I might starve to death and you might offer me moldy food and I'm choosing to starve. But at the same time, like, it's not a choice.
It's not a choice.
It doesn't have to be.
If you're just joining us, we are talking to Corrine Hendrickson, who is a family child care provider, had to make the very difficult decision to close her business. Announced it last week on Pat Kreitlow's show about it. And Corrine, one of the things that, you know, I guess because I don't work in Madison and I don't work in this industry, I guess the question I have for you is the responses you may have gotten from those who didn't want to give you the money. What they gave you these official fixes, whether it, and when I say fixes, I mean in heavy quotations, but it just, I guess to me, the question I have for you is why wouldn't they just say, yes, here is more money to educate our children? It seems short-sighted is a nice way of putting it, but it seems like deliberate and just mean-spirited to say, well, we're not going to give you the money and you have to deal with it. And if you can't, then well, that's the free market.
Yeah, I wish I knew, because they refuse to tell us why. They refuse to say why they do not want to invest. And so I can infer it's because they want women to stay home. I can infer that it's because they don't think our children are worth a penny. I can infer a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. I can, you know, think that they think 16-year-old and more children is the answer, because they're looking at children as a mathematical equation and not as human beings, and that we're taking away their ability to thrive. We are going to put them on the path to go to prison, which, hey, by the way, you get $1 million for a child to incarcerate them per year. So for the low, low price of 480 incarcerated children, we could support our entire child care system.
I want to touch on that moment, that point of young people teaching. And it was either you or Tricia Peterson who spoke about it. And I'm going to phrase this cautiously. There's nothing wrong with younger people teaching children, because you have programs which will basically be like apprentice programs where they can learn. They're paired with an adult teacher, someone who has experience, and that type of program, as someone who was an apprentice, seems like a great thing to fund, to take those 16-year-olds that you say, yeah, you can teach, but let's make it so over the next 5 years you are going to learn all those skills, and then when you're 20 something, you're certified, you're ready, you can open your own business or whatever. But I mean, there is the kernel of truth that 16-year-olds working this job isn't a bad thing if they have the supervision, the oversight,
the mentorship,
and the desire to do it. It can't also just be like, hey, do you want to babysit this summer? And they're actually teaching kids.
Yeah, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. Minnesota actually is doing a mentorship program where the children, the students, adults also are able to access the classes for free. And then the mentor gets paid by the state to do the mentoring. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then the mentee gets paid by the state to learn. And so it's not overhead cost on us as the child care owners to do that. And yes, like, I would love to apprentice, you know, a 16, 17-year-old in my program where I can teach them and I can watch them and observe them and give them positive feedback and let them open their own family childcare when they're, you know, mid-20s. That'd be fabulous. Yep. But the way we're doing it right now is we're throwing these children in to the wolves, and they're going to run away screaming and not even want children mm-hmm. by the time they're done with this experience.
You know, Corrine, this could all be fixed if women like you would just do it for nothing. You know, that'd just be such an easy fix if women just dropped out of the workforce and did labor for free. I think that that's the answer.
I'm going to say nothing right now.
Ron Johnson has told me that to my face.
Oh, God.
That you should do it for free?
Yeah.
Seriously.
In his office. Yes, in his office a few years ago when I was in D.C., he literally said, wouldn't an elegant solution be for moms like you to watch other people's children while they work? And I was like, for free? And he did not respond to that. And so that answer was a yes.
Well, I got to digest that for just a minute.
I'm never going to forget that.
And we're going to continue our conversation with Corrine Hendrickson when I recover. You're listening to Matinee on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hi, I'm Ashley, and I want to talk to you about your business. Are you a business owner who lies awake at night worried about your business uncertainties? Do you know who your target audience is or how to reach them? Don't waste another night's sleep. Call me at 715-496-0710 so I can show you the tools and information you need. We offer radio, digital, and streaming services that will help you stand out. With my education and experience, I'll help you create a solid plan tailored for your business. Because cookie cutters are for the holidays, not for business needs. Call today and let those uncertainties melt away. 715-496-0710.
At WFHR and WIRI, our advertisers are part of our family, so come join the family by calling Ashley today at 715-496-0710.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. In the closet, under the bed, in the car. But I don't want your money or your TV. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. I'm patient and quiet. I don't sleep. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Secure all your guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 10:30 news, we will lighten it up as we always do with a segment we call Audio Sorbet. Alvin, kind of hanging out here waiting for the sorbet. Harps audio sorbet after 10:30 will be, do you subtitle or dubs? Do you read subtitles when you're watching television or a movie, or do you do the dub route? That is our groundbreaking conversation we'll have after 10:30, and then we'll wrap it up as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Here Kitty Kitty edition. Right now, Corrine Hendrickson is our guest, 18-year child care provider in Wisconsin, and now is going to be closing, sadly, at the end of August, because the budget agreement that was reached here in Wisconsin is not doing enough for our child care providers. And right before we had to take a pause, You mentioned a conversation with Ron Johnson, Corrine, that I don't know that Greg and I have ever heard this before.
I've never heard this.
I think let's go back to that conversation you had with Wisconsin Senior Senator Ron Johnson about the need for child care in Wisconsin. How did that go?
So, yeah, I was there with Main Street Alliance. There were several of us talking about small businesses and the need for investment in things that would support small businesses, including child care. And he called me healthcare about three times also. And I kept correcting him and saying, no, I run a child care. And then I said, why don't you think we should fund? And he goes, I think an elegant solution, it would be for moms like you to stay home. And so the other moms can go to work at their whatever, maybe more important jobs, I don't know, so that they can go to work and then you can keep their kids. And I said, well, and I shouldn't get paid for that. And he just kind of looked at me and tried to change the subject really quickly. And Sean actually then said, you don't think that people like her should be able to run their small business and get paid? And he just kind of stared at us. And I said, that tells me all I need to know. And then the conversation moved on. It was a group of men and women, and with the women, he was very much in our faces. And then when the men talked, he was very laid back.
No.
So the group of us tried really hard. Like, the guys in there were very supportive. And so they would try in their way to kind of like say what they could to bring the conversation back around and talk about how, as restaurant owners, they needed child care for their employees and things like that. And it was just, it was a 101 in what is wrong with our elected officials, honestly.
Okay. Where do I start? First of all, an elegant solution. That was him trying to be fun or whatever. And once again, missing the mark, as he always does, as he needs a sense of humor and human emotions to do that. But also, do you think there is a business person on earth who would walk into his office, who would say, I'm struggling, I need help? Like I manufacture a widget that, you know, steals something for cars. Do you think he would dare have the notion to say, well, if you just did it for free, I mean, why don't you just do it for free? Then you should be fine. I mean, what's wrong with just doing your job for free? Then you don't have to worry about it.
Why didn't he tell the restaurant owners to get servers who will just do it for nothing? Then that's our answer. That's our answer for everything is we need more people doing jobs who don't get paid. That's the fix.
Well, it kind of is how.
That's the fix.
Kind of how things work. That's kind of how things work. We exploit people for the lowest amount possible.
Yeah.
They can get richer. I mean, it is what it is. They just don't say it so blatantly obvious. And I do think it's because women in general, our entire system of childcare is built on the backs of women with young children who quit their jobs, who cannot find care, who open their own family childcares or go work in a group center so that their kids can be around other kids and they can bring in a tiny amount of salary. That is what our entire system has been built on historically. And it has worked in the past because enough of us are willing to do it. Well, we're no longer willing to do it. And also, any job pays way more than what we get paid. And so there's not people that are, I guess, desperate enough to like have some income and do this high, high intense job that is mentally, physically exhausting and draining, but yet at the same time, so wonderful and fulfilling at the same time. And that's kind of what keeps us going. And that's why we're in this weird space.
Yeah.
And that's why the system keeps perpetuating upon itself. And we need to get elected reps at the state and federal level who absolutely understand that childcare is education for our children. It is workforce development. It is criminal, gets rid of crime, reduces healthcare costs. It is the linchpin of our entire society. And if we care about kids, we need to take care of them from the beginning and their families and the communities that support them.
I feel like the bar is set really low at this point where I would just like to have a representative who understands the difference between a healthcare provider and a child care provider. Can we let's just start there.
Well, if you would like to call Ron Johnson and point out the distinction between healthcare and child care, there's an easy way for you to get a hold of him.
Very easy.
Go to myvote.wi.gov and let Senator Ron Johnson know how you feel about his idea that the elegant solution to our child care problem is just for women to drop out of the workforce and watch everybody else's kids for free. I think I might call. MyVote.WI.gov. Let Rojo know what you think about him in the nicest way possible.
Hashtag let Rojo know.
Let Rojo know. Corrine Hendrickson, thank you so very much for making time out with us. We will continue our conversations with you and love to see politics. I don't know. Maybe think about it.
We'll see.
We'll see. Corrine Hendrickson, thank you so very much. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
You're welcome. I will have lots of time.
Yeah.
Great. We have news coming up next, and then we'll come back with Audio Sorbet. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, myvote.wi.gov, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
CBS News Brief. Federal prosecutors in New York and the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force have announced bomb charges against Manhattan resident Michael Gann. CBS's Anna Schechter.
Prosecutors said the suspect manufactured at least 7 improvised explosive devices, or IEDs, using precursor chemicals that he ordered on the internet.
They say he tossed one onto subway tracks last month. The heat dome baking the south and central U.S. is moving into the northeast. Meteorologist Craig Allen.
The heat dome itself is now sitting over the Mississippi Valley, expanding into the Ohio Valley, and will reach the eastern United States by the second half of this week.
President Trump announced a trade framework with Japan, which will place a 15% tax on goods imported from that nation. He said Japan will invest $550 billion into the U.S. and will open its economy to American autos and rice if the deal is finalized. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
Football starts tomorrow. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, Packers training camp beginning tomorrow morning at 10:30 with the first of 11 practices open to the public, 3 preseason games, followed by the 17-game regular season schedule. The Packers signing right tackle Zach Tom to a 4-year deal, including a signing bonus of over $30 million, the most ever for an offensive lineman. NBA, Chris Paul will join the LA Clippers and Brooke Lopez. The Bucks had shown interest in Paul earlier this summer. Baseball, the Brewers and Mariners again tonight in Seattle. The Brewers with a 6-0 win over the Mariners last night, their 11th win in a row. How did they go from fourth place to right now the best record in baseball?
I think you got to understand that this is a bunch of people that, you know, have gotten to this point and just kept clawing away. You know, they're hungry. I'm really, really proud of them, but we got work to do to improve in every area we can. But we can at least feel like we're capable.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. Okay, Sandler fans, buckle up. Happy Gilmore 2 is on the way, thrilling golf and comedy fans across the world. Adam Sandler recently told Collider there were serious rewrites of the script due to the passing of Carl Weathers, who played Chubbs Peterson, Gilmore's mentor in the first film in 1996. Weathers passed away last year from a heart attack, forcing the production of Gilmore to adapt. Sandler says there are many tributes to Chubbs in the second installment. Happy Gilmore 2 drops on Netflix Friday, July 25th. Sad news from the world of Ted Lasso. At least if you're a certain actor. Apple TV announced Monday that Jamie Tart will not be lacing them up for AFC Richmond. Actor Phil Dunster will not return in the role, at least not as the series regular. Deadline reports that the actor had already taken a role in a still-untitled HBO show with Steve Carell, creating a scheduling conflict. Season 4 of Lasso is currently filming in Kansas City. You heard that right, not in the UK. There is no release date announced yet for the new season. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy with some late night showers and storms. Lows in the lower 70s, a breezy south wind. Wednesday heat advisory in effect. Showers and storms then turning mostly sunny with highs in the lower 90s. Heat index will easily exceed 100. It's 75 at our studios.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the founder of Wisconsinology.com and writer-producer Frank Anderson. Then up-and-coming singer-songwriter Kaylin Cole joins me and gives us a sneak peek at her new single.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, and if you have the Civic Media app. Which you should.
You should.
Because we're doing free ticket Fridays all summer long, where you have a chance to pick up a 4-pack of Milwaukee Brewers Club level tickets. I understand the crew is hot right now.
Oh, the crew is so hot. 11 wins in a row. We are smoking officially hot. In first place by, I believe, a half a game
it's
or
very
one
exciting.
Full game. I am very, very excited. And the Blue Jays too. They're on an 11-game winning streak as well. But right now, we are officially, the Milwaukee Brewers are officially one game ahead of the Chicago Cubs in first place in the NL Central. And I will say this: we have a better record than almost every single team in every division in first place, except for the Detroit Lions. Which, by the way, I'm always happy when Detroit's winning.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's. Whew, but I'm doing that thing, Jane, where I'm saying, like, you know what? If they lose the 12th one, it's okay. It was a good run. It's fine.
You boys did a good job.
But all I'm going to ask, the final question I ask, George Webb's, is the offer still open? That's a very old reference.
It is.
Was it? I think it was 12 in a row. I think they won.
It was 12.
And George Webb's gave free hamburgers out. I got some of those.
We'll check on that.
Yeah.
We'll check on that. But yes, you want to have the Civic Media app is the whole point.
Yeah.
Because that's the way you can enter for the free Ticket Fridays contest. Mm-hmm. And also a new feature on the app now is the voice note.
Yes.
So you can actually record a message to us mm-hmm. and text it in.
Yes.
And we can listen to it.
Yeah. Whether
and
you
play it.
Whether you like us or not.
We clean it up for language.
Oh, yeah.
We do clean it up for language, but yes. So today, for Audio Sorbet, which is where we are right now, this is the portion of the program where we like to lighten things up, take a breath, get away from the news, have a couple laughs. Audio Sorbet for today is subtitles or dubs. When you are watching a movie or anything, actually, if it's a dubbed film, will you watch the dub or do you bring up the subtitles? Closed captioning, as it were. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC.
Yeah.
Dubs?
Wow,
or closed caption with a long pause.
We should have had dramatic like music there. Wow, that was amazing. Like I'm like, what happened? Did news just break? Did something?
No, and we had a text from earlier that I wanted to share from Isaac, who texted in early in the show from Baraboo. He says, this is for the Audio Sorbet. This is Isaac. I usually turn on subtitles no matter what show or movie I'm watching. Thank you, Isaac.
So Calvin brought this one up because there are shows on Netflix that are in other languages mm-hmm. and Netflix. I mean, they're not the only one, but there are a lot of shows I feel like on Netflix that have just their base option is just dubbing. You don't even have to like choose it. It's dubbed into a language. I think the one I'm thinking of is Money Heist. It's dubbed from a different language into English. And for me personally, dubbing is off-putting. Like,
yes,
it's to, I can't watch it because I'll see their faces and their mouth won't match the words. And it's like when you watch shows on television and the audio isn't quite in sync with the video and it ruins your life.
Well, it's hard to stay up with the plot when you're so distracted by that half a second, yep. right? Yep. Half a second delay, a half a second that's off with the lips and the sound yep. and all that stuff. And that's all I can think about then when I'm watching that movie is, oh, you were so close on dubbing that, but that didn't work.
Yeah. I think that I'll watch movies dubbed, especially like, you know, movies from Hong Kong or from China or Japan. I think that it's my brain has negotiated the differences, but when it's just, I can't do dubbing. It just throws me way off. I have to do subtitles. That's how I, and to be perfectly honest, subtitles are how I watch shows in English too.
Thank you.
Which, no.
It's not just me.
Oh, it certainly is not you.
I think my whole closed captioning thing started with the final season of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Because not only was it so dark, you could barely see anything. I couldn't hear anything, so I started putting the closed caption on it so I could at least know what was going on while they were flying around in dragons in the complete dark. But now it's like fight scenes mm-hmm. and explosions yeah. are so loud compared to the dialogue that now I have closed caption on all the time.
Yeah.
So I don't have to blast people out of the room because if I have it loud enough to hear the dialogue, then when the explosions happen, it's like I'm going to get shot across the room.
And the whole point of this conversation started with the, do you do subtitles or dubbing? But it immediately morphed into this where we're like watching television and the, because it's true. When I watch TV, the dialogue will be usually a certain level quieter. And then the action is so
loud.
And the commercials, so
yes,
loud.
My husband says that too.
Calvin, you brought this topic up and you said that your parents have a very interesting history with this.
This is great.
Yeah. So, I mean, in college, I watched a lot of anime, Japanese animation, and I was a bit of a snob where I would only, it's a big debate, sub or dub. And
sub or dub.
Sub people are a little snobby and I tend to fall in that category because the dubs are a lot of times annoying yeah. in my opinion.
Yeah.
But yeah, my parents, I think it started with they tried to watch the first season of Squid Games
mm-hmm.
and they watched the dub and I would like catch pieces of it and it would just bother me that the dialogue wasn't syncing up to mm-hmm. the mouths. And then this goes even further. They decided they couldn't hear it, so they started using the subtitles but kept watching the dub. So they were watching dubbed with subtitles.
We can have all these conversations, and it was funny because we had all these conversations before the show just to like, you know, we just got into it, we were talking about it, and then you said that and I feel like you just stopped the room. We're like, wait, what?
That's great.
Why? Kareen Hendrickson, who was our guest earlier this hour, actually chimed in our chat that says, I agree on the dubbing. I can't stand it when it doesn't line. I have to close out, go back in to start it again because just that it will correct itself when you start again. But then again, this technology,
just a little off.
I shouldn't have to deal with this. I paid a lot of money for this television. But yeah, dubbing is just impossible for me to concentrate with. I have to do subtitles. And I said to the two of you, when I would go to my mother-in-law's house, she is a subtitle stan. She loves it. She does it all the time, period. That's always what's happening. And I was being like, why are we doing this? It's distracting. I don't like it. We can hear it. Turn it up. All the things that my brain was saying. And then one day I'm at home and I just turn it on. I go to myself, oh, wait, the subtitles aren't on. I got to turn the subtitle. I'm like, no! What did I do?
You got sucked into the subtitle vortex yes. without even realizing it.
Yep.
Subtitles, closed captioning, or dubbed,
Which do you prefer? Which do you detest? 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-SICK. Our audio sorbet conversation for today. Terry from the Northwoods is on the line, not for audio sorbet, Terry, but you wanted to say something about the Brewers?
I just hope they stand pat. No trades. Keep that clubhouse together.
Yes, sir.
Don't tweak it. Don't tweak it.
Yeah.
Just let it be. That's all I got, guys.
Terry,
have that.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, well, and it's kind of a surprise. I mean, I don't think anybody had big expectations for the Brewers this year.
No.
Right? It was like, yeah, hopefully we'll not suck.
Hopefully be a 500 team. That's what Paul said. That's what JR said. That's what I said. I don't have as much knowledge of baseball as they do. Terry, thank you so much for calling and giving us your opinion on the matter. I totally agree. Keep it straight down the air, straight down the
path. Don't mess with anything right now.
You got great pitching. You got great
tweaking.
Bats. And by the way, Terry, I just want to say, and I'm going to speak on behalf of Jane and Todd when I say this. We went to the Northwoods this past week. It is so lovely.
Yes.
Loved being in, I don't know where you're from exactly, but in your neck of the woods. It was just so beautiful. Yep. Thank you so much for calling, Terry. Yep, we
really
appreciate
that, Terry. Terry Ryan, listening on the on WAUK, says, subtitles all the way. Thank you, Terry. Appreciate that. I agree with you. Now I leave them on for everything.
I do too. And for things that are like, even like, I know some people who will turn subtitles on when they watch BBC shows because I understand sometimes the accents are
can throw you a little bit.
But now it doesn't matter. I can be watching myself on video. I'll have subtitles on because I'm just like, you never know. I could miss something.
855-752-4842. Subtitles or dubbed? Do you have a preference? Do you use neither? Maybe your hearing's really, really good and much better than mine because I need subtitles now. 855-752-4842. And it gets to the point, because we were, again, when we were talking about this off the air, when you first start using closed captioning, that's all you're watching.
Yes.
Right? Is you're reading the dialogue and you're reading things as it goes along, so you might not be watching the action itself.
Mm-hmm.
I think it gets easier as you do it more.
I think so, too. I think you trust yourself to know that if there's no action happening, if it's just conversation, you're not missing much visually.
Right.
But I did mention this, too, that Netflix has been reported as their scripts for their original programming, excuse me, they over-explain things in the scripts. Their characters will over-explain what's going on because they know their viewers are actually listeners.
They're
looking
not watching.
At their phone. They're looking at their tablet. They're looking at their device.
It's on in the background.
Yes, exactly. So they need to know what's going on. So it's all in the script. It's all in the back and forth. So that to me says a great deal about us. Us, not you, of us.
Us. Carmela from Milwaukee listening on WAUK. Definitely subtitles. Like Jana got tired of trying to hear what they were freaking saying, especially after rewinding numerous times, trying to figure out what I missed. I also find it hysterical when subtitles have misspellings or they use the wrong word.
Yes. Yeah.
Little moments of happy there.
We were watching a show called, and I can't remember the name of it right now. We watched it. Oh, Good Cop, Bad Cop. It's a CW show. It's kind of ridiculous, but it's fun. And the subtitles were so far behind. They were like think about time as a construct. They were a solid 45 to 60 seconds behind. We just had to turn them off because we're like,
oh my God, you must have been so confused.
Like three seasons. I will say this too, and you know this, and anyone who watches subtitles, I think the only problem with subtitles is the reveals come immediately. So
if it's a long, slow conversation, they get to the spoiler
before anything's. Oh man, now I know who killed the guard. It was the other guard.
Right.
Yes.
All right. When we return, this shouldn't be a thing. Today it is the Hey Kitty Kitty edition. Calvin found another good one. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Mayer on Air on the vast statewide, countrywide, go global with the app, baby, Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Some things can steal your sunshine.
Ugh, I just got my hair done.
Sorry, the cooler's broken.
Aww. Anyone see my flip-flops? Anyone?
But COVID-19 can steal a lot more.
I just took a COVID test. Ugh.
Prescription medications for COVID exist. If you test positive this summer, ask your doctor if they're right for you. Visit PfizerForAll.com/COVID-19 to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Have you ever found yourself asking,
what's a good recipe for cookies my kids will love?
How do I avoid giving my guests food poisoning?
How would a restaurant chef prepare this meal?
If so, then tune into The Kitchen's Open, the show within the morning show each Monday morning at the start of the 10 o'clock hour. I'll tackle topics, teach techniques, or tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners. The Kitchen's Open. We'll tell you something good.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark, and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party? You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We will not be here tomorrow. Calvin will be here. Matt Rothschild, it is going to slip in to our show and cover it for us tomorrow with Kevin producing. We are going to Madison, Civic Media's headquarters, world headquarters, for our annual Beat the Hosts About the Face and Neck with Sticks. So we do this once a year. It's fun.
I was told there's going to be pie.
And after they beat us around the face and neck with sticks, it's fine. It's fine. So Matt will be here tomorrow. We will be back with you on Thursday, but we're going to do our show from Madison.
Correct.
So, but Calvin, you are still going to be producing for us on Thursday, aren't you?
I will be here.
All
looking
right.
Looking forward to it.
Double checking.
We'll make sure
everything's okay.
We'll make sure our show's completely in subtitles. That's a reference to the last segment. We talked about subtitles.
Like that very much. Okay, it is just about 10:54. That means it is time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays, janesays@civicmedia.us. Calvin, as always, found this one. This is from CBC Canada News. Courtney Dixon with the byline. Headline,
it's a good story,
reads,
eh?
Yeah. Eh? Headline reads, BC couple dodging dozens of calls about their missing cat, but their cat isn't missing. Natasha Lavoie's phone number is featured on a shirt by a U.S. designer. For more than a year, Natasha Lavoie and her partner Jonathan have been fielding dozens upon dozens upon dozens of phone calls from strangers saying they have found their cat, Turbo. They don't have a cat named Turbo. They do have a cat named Mauser.
Yeah.
He's not missing.
He's right there.
He's right there. They have photos of him.
Yep.
Sometimes, like six times a day, I'm getting these really random phone calls and people leaving me voicemails saying that they found my cat and they want money in order for me to turn over my cat. I'm like, my cat's at home in the air conditioning. I don't know what you're talking about. After months of this and trying to figure out why this was happening, she finally asked someone how they got her number. The caller explained the number was listed on a shirt that looks like a missing cat poster. So somebody's got a t-shirt
mm-hmm.
with a kitten on it
yeah.
that says missing cat, and underneath is the phone number. She said, why would you use that phone number on that shirt?
I have a feeling it was a randomly picked, like you just
it was
picked,
a randomly generated number.
You just picked 10 number. I mean, I think in Canada, it's the same system as ours. It's going to be 10 numbers, and you just simply put it on. Yeah, and you think, well, you know, it's a number. Who's
going to do that?
Jane, who in their right mind would call it?
Hundreds of people.
Exactly.
CBC News reached out to the company that made this shirt, Wisdom.
Yeah.
WISDUMB. Wisdom,
gross.
New York.
I hate that.
Created this shirt and says they are no longer selling it online. Although on their Instagram page, they do have photos of missing cat posters with various area codes attached. The use of a real number within this artwork was not intentional, according to customer service at this Wisdom New York website. Okay.
I think it's very, I don't know, there's, call me what you will, I think there's something very sweet about the fact that this woman who's being called many times a day, she doesn't change her number. She wouldn't do that. You know.
She's hesitant to change her number.
Yeah.
She said, we've thought about it, but we have a 604 area code that was British Columbia's first area code. It's like New York. And now you can't get it anymore.
That also feels very Midwest. I don't want to get rid of my 414.
I'm not changing it.
My number 260. I'm not getting rid of that. That's where I grew up.
I've had my number for 20 years. She says, I don't want to change it. I'll just keep not answering. And their cat is fine. So if you do see a t-shirt with a missing cat on it, it's got a number, don't call it. Don't call it.
I just love this. I love the idea that people may. Well, I don't like the idea that people are like, if you want your cat, I want money. I have to imagine some people called and said, hey, I think I saw your cat. I think I found your cat.
Half the time they just cut you off and go like, no, I've got your cat. I want money for the cat.
Okay, never mind.
And then they hang up.
Oh, man.
She does say, and I think this is the final word, I feel like I deserve a free t-shirt after this.
Wisdom, are you listening? I feel like you should get a t-shirt with the CEO's face on it and his phone number saying, missing CEO, missing intelligence.
Missing intelligence.
There it goes.
I like it. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and all of our guests. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It really does mean the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a little bit, and you have the chance to share it. We got news coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman, 11 to 2. Todd Alba, 2 to 4. Maggie Dawn, 4 to 6. Beach Schwabba, 6 to 8 p.m. with Nightlight and some great evening entertainment as well.
Yep.
Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, and we'll see you on Thursday.
Is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. Federal prosecutors in New York and the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force have announced bomb-related charges against a Manhattan resident named Michael Gann. CBS's Anna Schechter reports.
There is a lengthy indictment that tells the story of how he searched on the internet and used AI to build these IEDs with precursor chemicals that he ordered. The FBI assistant director in charge said that the suspect allegedly produced multiple improvised explosive devices intended for use in Manhattan.
Los Angeles County District Attorney Nathan Hochman announced charges against 29-year-old Fernando Ramirez, who police say drove a vehicle into a crowd.
He is accused of intentionally driving his car onto the sidewalk near the Vermont Hollywood, a popular venue where he allegedly...